Hey there, my name's Jared Holt, and welcome to Posting Through It. That's right, folks, the podcast has a new name. I'd wager it looks a little bit different in your feeds, too. The show's been running on for a while. It's going to pass its million download marker soon, which I'm very happy about. And as time has gone on, what I've been doing here has evolved a bit. The show's a bit more mature, as am I. It was time for a change. We also moved off of Substack onto a new little array of platforms. I won't rehash the details of that, but if you're interested in learning about why I did that, you can go to postingthroughit.com. That's right, folks, we have a .com website now, and I guess that makes it official as anything. This week, we're revisiting a character that we've done a couple episodes about already, Tim Pool. He's a YouTube personality who does what I would call the performance of being a news person. He's either a reporter or just some guy with opinions, depending on how badly he gets caught being wrong on something. He will sometimes just let his opinions rip. Other times he's reading, you know, almost verbatim from news articles or for videos. He wears a beanie 100% of the time. If you spend time online looking at politics, you've probably come across this guy at some point. He's been laughably wrong about almost everything he's tried to quote-unquote report on. But nevertheless, he's been able to construct a mini-media empire under his wings. He's getting elected officials on his show, taking out ad buys for billboards, and making an amount of money that God knows is probably way too much for what he's doing. With this power, he's chosen to launder far-right politics into wider audiences under the false premise that Tim Pool, is just some kind of liberal who can't go along with the mainstream left anymore. If that sounds familiar, it's because there's tons of people who do this exact same shtick. His show today is a parade of cynicism and resentment at the left, or in Tim's case, you know, how he applies that label, pretty much anyone who's not conservative. You're either conservative or left. Moderate doesn't exist on that show. He promises audiences that they can come to him for an alternative to the junky, sloppy, mainstream news. But as you'll hear today, the operation Pool has created and grown is about as thin on that claim as the string of fabric comprising his signature winter headwear. In a prior episode, I talked with the operator of Tim Pool Clips, a Twitter account that has done a lot of painstaking research into Tim Pool. That episode contains an overview of Tim Pool's history, his ascent into major right-wing online political commentary. Go check that out. And while you're at it, if you're interested in hearing more about Tim Pool, you can hear an episode I did last year with Robert Silverman after he published in the Daily Beast a profile on Tim Pool that, to my knowledge, is still the most in-depth look at his media operation to date. This week, Robert Silverman is back on the show. Late last month, he published another piece on Tim Pool in the Daily Beast. I'll add a link to it in the description of this episode. There's going to be a brief musical intermission, and on the other side, you'll hear my conversation with Robert Silverman. Robert Silverman, it's great to have you back.
Thanks.
This time on a show called Posting Through It, the show rebranded. What do you think?
I like it. It speaks to my needs and my issues as a modern human being. I am often posting through it.
Aren't we all? Yeah.
There's no look, when you're a poster, you got to post all the way from your first bad tweet to your last dying day. That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I see people playing at TAME, I imagine I feel the same way a lot of disappointed dads do when they're, you know, they take their kid to the Little League field and, you know, the kid's out in the outfield just staring off into space. you know, they lose the game, but you can't even say you left it all out on the field, right? No. It's just weak.
When I was a boy, there wasn't even a thought of an edit button. You just had to leave your poorly spelled, ill-considered, and possibly racist idea out there for the whole world to see. Come on.
You know, back in my day, there was always some asshole who would throw everything he posted into an archive site.
That seems weird. I don't know who would do that. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I definitely have never done that as a reporter. Yeah.
No. Wrong. Bad. All right. So what shall we discuss today?
Well, I don't know. You know, last time you were on the show, you had just published this big profile on Tim Pool in the Daily Beast. I believe had you on in August last year.
August 1st is the day that it ran. Ran the morning of August 1st, 2021. Well, and then on August 31st, 2021, I came up with another one. So we're back at it again.
We're back, folks. Anyway, it's been about a year since that last profile. Listeners can go back and, you know, hear what we talked about then. But, you know, now that I'm talking to you again, I'm curious, from the time that you reported your original big profile and we had our conversation then, what has changed about the Tim Pool empire? And maybe it could also be as telling to talk about what hasn't changed.
I think a lot of what he does is still very much the same. The reason Pool is a successful, what's the word I want to use? I'll go with what Taylor Lorenz said of Glenn Greenwald. A successful social media influencer, the reason he thrives in that realm is that he is a useful way for far-right extremists, and in some cases outright white nationalists, to get their talking points out and present a friendly face to the world. And he gives them a very large platform and audience to that they can then introduce themselves. And honestly, the kinds of guests that he's had on his nightly live show, they've only come from the further on the fringe, and at the same time, more well-known figures. Like Marjorie Taylor Greene has appeared on the show. I don't have an exact count in front of me, but it's at least three times. She has been there for a two-hour friendly sit-down with Marjorie Taylor Greene. There is a special bonus episode where you can watch Tim and one of his co-hosts play Magic the Gathering with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Because, you see, MTG with MTG. Get it?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Don't worry. I feel like the veneer of Tim Pool has really worn off, maybe not in the last year, but in the last couple years. Yeah, this idea that he's this like disgruntled, true liberal, like a Dave Rubin clone, is like completely out the window at this point. If you're playing Magic the Gathering and being like, I love my QAnon congresswoman that thinks Jews have space lasers that cause natural disasters. Like
he has done more there's nothing left. To normalize what Marjorie Taylor Greene actually thinks and believes than I think any other media figure around. More than what she can appear on Fox News, and the framework that someone who doesn't pay a lot of attention to politics will at least understand the valence of what's being presented. But he apparently is very fond of Marjorie Taylor Greene. He said as much. He said that of course, because of Tim's resentments against a lot of the mainstream press, he's like, oh, I read all these things that she said, these crazy things, and it doesn't matter because they lie all the time, and she apologized, so it doesn't count. He really does. He is, at least in outward appearances, quite fond of Marjorie Taylor Greene. Alex Jones has made multiple appearances on the show. Before last year, when we spoke, he had people on who ended up getting arrested on January 6th or helped promote the January 6th insurrection. Now he's had them back on after January 6th, after they were arrested, and in some cases after they, you know, around the time they just gotten off serving time in jail, in order to help launder their reputation on his show. Yeah, the idea that Tim Pool is anything but a node in the right-wing food chain, I think everyone has disabused themselves to that point. And Tim has actually gone further in that direction. I would say, just if you go by the guests that he has on and the friendly banter that he exchanges with, you know, on them, that's what he is right now. And it clearly bothers him. I'm not sure whether it bothers him because he's deluded himself, or it bothers him because it hurts his marketing strategy, but he's still pitching the same line. that he's center left or a center libertarian or a disaffected liberal and all that. Like, that hasn't changed at all.
Are there any other big notable changes during the last year that listeners should be aware of?
Well, the article that I wrote is very much on one of these. He had just pretty much started generating articles for the website when I wrote about him in August 2021. And now his news platform is up and running. And I think the most honest way to describe it is a content mill.
We're going to talk all about that. But first, I think we do need to address the elephant in the room, which is that Tim Pool is putting out emo music that the globalists hate. They hate it.
It's true. You see, when Tim puts out a song, and to his credit, he did move some units here. It was up to number Tim's song. I believe it's called "Only Ever Wanted." Not to give Tim any more free advertising, but Tim Pool's song by his band Timcast, available on Timcast Records, featuring Timcast,
which you can find on social media at Timcast on pretty much any platform.
Or his website, timcast.com. Yeah. It did get up to like number two in digital sales on iTunes. It did, I think, rank in the teens for digital sales on Billboard. So people bought this. I think he said during a recent episode that he sold something like 12,000 copies of the song, something.
Which in a world that doesn't buy music anymore is something.
That's an achievement. I am in no way denying the fact that Tim was able to move product here. As to the why he did this, Tim has a very, very fine singing voice. It's definitely, that sounds like someone singing a song.
Yeah, it's okay. I thought the song was like kind of forgettable, but I didn't think it was like bad.
No, you know? It was fine. It was a very mid-2000s kind of song, but fine, whatever. The reason I think that it's so interesting is, one, he is absolutely using the Alex Jones method of sales in order to distribute this. For an entire week's worth of his videos, all he ever said was that if you buy this song, you are helping to topple the evil establishment that is working feverishly to destroy this country and will eventually come knocking on your door, you know, billy clubs in hand, ready to beat you and your grandmother to a bloody pulp.
I had to pull up the tweet that he did after.
Oh, that's a great
one. I think the song had been out for like a week or something and did, I mean, by all metrics, like pretty good for a first song. He wrote, "The success of Only Ever Wanted proves that deep down people have a yearning for powerful emo music, but the corporate globalist elite conspired to suppress it." Which I don't know what the fuck he's done.
Talks a lot. I mean, look, it's clearly true.
Yeah, there's definitely not like music festivals and record labels and that are completely dedicated to this genre.
No. It's the globalists, and he doesn't mean Jews. He really doesn't. He doesn't, when he says that, he doesn't mean the Jews. But he just means the other corporate globalists who are trying to destroy this incredibly popular and common music form by not covering the fact that he put out this song, but like that's effective. And, you know, if you want to pay less than a dollar, and if you tell your audience that you've primed to believe is both victimized, oppressed, and being targeted by this all-consuming, all-powerful force, with its tentacles, not just in politics, but in every aspect of your lives, particularly culturally, if you tell them that for 69 cents, they too can be a digital soldier and take up arms against a sea of enemies, yeah, people are going to smash that button. And it works. I mean, again, let's go back to Alex Jones.
Alex Jones' method.
That works as a business model. Now, most of Tim's money is still coming from YouTube ad dollars. That's still where it's not like he's going to shift full time into making, you know, sort of generic rock. And that's going to be how he makes his money. But Sure, that sells. I'm sure he turned a tidy, a hefty profit and managed to get a few more people to start watching his videos. So mission accomplished for Tim Pool. He's also been ranting recently about the fact he got very mad that people were dunking on him on Twitter for this song. And those dunks where people would say, call the album, that's what I call Incel Volume 1, or say, check out the new album by 8chan Blondes, or, you know, I don't remember all the great jokes. Like someone, the lead singer of Eve 6.
I saw that one where he's like, damn, I've written some bad song lyrics in my time, but nothing like this. But it's... I also, in a way, and this is going to sound crazy at first, but
we're here for the crazy. Let's go.
In a way, I think releasing this song, which by itself would mean nothing, but the way that he's promoted and talked about this song since he released it, to me is another tell of kind of where he's at in his trajectory. Ever since I've been reporting on the far right, researching the far right, there's been a obsession with the fact that they don't have cultural products. They believe they are in a culture war and that they are always on the back foot unless they have a compelling alternative. They can complain about movies, complain about the TV, which is Tim's whole shtick, is complaining about news articles. But unless they have some kind of alternative to it, some own expression of their culture, that ultimately they will lose. So you've seen various things like Milo and Lucian Wintrich having back in 2016,
the Twinks 15, for Trump show, the Twinks for Trump, Trump. Are, yeah, and you know the Daily Wire is doing this very successfully by putting out movies. I want to put it in air quotes because you know direct to video stuff with Gina Carano. I don't know if that's it's not like they're making the Robert Davi directed Hunter Biden movie. Tim actually makes the exact same argument you do. That is the literal thing that he says. He says, you know, he goes back to the Andrew Breitbart quote from, you know, the early 2010s about politics being downstream from culture. And he says, we have to create our own cultural worlds. And this is part of that Tim Pool project. I mean, only real Timcast heads will know that you can check out a couple of the scripted sketch comedies that are available on his YouTube channel.
I've seen a couple of these.
They'll burble up from time to time, but that's what it really is. I mean, he's also spending, he said low five figures to fund some kind of Christian non-accredited school in West Virginia. When he first lost the website, like the point he keeps talking about making these skateboarding videos, inviting people over to skateboard so that I mentioned this in the first story so that, you know, the kids can come hang out and they can play the circle game without getting accused of being Nazis was his direct quote. Like this has been a project of his for a while. And I don't want to say that he's necessarily wrong in his analysis. And if you are going to create some kind of self-contained alternate cultural universe, I think hostility and a desire to get back at, I don't know, Disney for having a character who's bi or something like that, or too many non-white people in a Marvel movie, if that is a real animating force in your life, I think you can make a good profit doing that. I think eventually the music and the movies need to be good in order for it to be sustainable. And, you know, I mean, the best comparison to what they're doing is they're generating Soviet socialist realist paintings, but with a John Naughton sheen, like draped all over the top of it. And it's agitprop. It's propaganda at its core. And for the true believers, they will consume that. And as a money-making scheme, as a way to get more money for themselves, I think they're right. In terms of actually moving hearts and minds and changing what people think and believe in this country, I have questions about the efficacy of that.
I mean, we would have to talk to a pollster for that, right? but propaganda is an effective weapon. It's why everybody in the whole every superpower in the world has used it.
I'll get Frank Luntz on the blower. We're very close.
All right, on to your reporting, sure. Robert. So much of what has made Tim Pool's brand successful is this posturing as an anti-establishment media person. Even when he was covering Occupy Wall Street, his selling, you know, ostensibly more sympathetic to a cause like that, his whole shtick was, I'm live streaming video, I'm showing you what the media won't show you about what's going on here.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that's a pretty valid sales pitch. Corporate media is certainly not perfect, and I'm not going to die on the cross for it, right? But, you know, that's really not kind of the whole picture with Tim. And I think your reporting illustrated it pretty clear. He tells his fans constantly that mainstream media, it's not this thing where it's like, oh, they just don't cover this, or like they're not giving enough attention to this. They're saying, or he's saying rather, the media hates you.
It's because if there is one through line for all of the work that I do, it's that I despise the media because they lie all the time.
So in theory, what you're getting from Tim Pool or somebody like him or in his media empire is something that's not the news, which, yeah, I would kind of agree with that. It's definitely not the news, and it sure is something. But as part of this alternative offering, Tim Pool, you know, as we were discussing last time, he was in the early rotation or early process of it, TimCast.com. TimCast.com, named the same as every other thing Tim Pool is involved in. And Robert, you decided to take a look around TimCast.com.
I did. I was curious as to what Tim's new site was like.
You know, reading your story, I kind of got the impression that maybe Tim Pool doesn't actually hate the mainstream media that much, given how much he seems to rely on them continuing to produce content. So before we talk about what you found, I do want to hear about how you investigated TimCast.com, because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, the site is just constantly churning stuff. And, you know, even if you were going to say, I'm going to review every single thing on this website, by the time you got done, there would be a whole new set.
Yeah.
So what did your investigation look like?
Well, I mean, I was sort of, for a while, I was just sort of keeping an eye on it and, you know, reading an article here and there and just sort of trying to get a sense of, you know, if you read a website on a daily basis, you can get a general sense of, you know, their editorial style, what issues they think are important to cover, how frequently they publish, you know, things like that. And that was just the beginning. But I heard, funnily enough, it was a video of his that I was watching. And Tim, for those who aren't acquainted, his video commentary style is he reads an article from a mainstream publication of some sort, and then he intersperses his commentary. Often he'll slam two or three stories from mainstream publications and winds them up into get into the point where he arrives at, and that's why a civil war is here, and we must all take arms and dig ourselves bunkers, and that actual violent conflict is soon at hand. So that's what he does in his video work. So I'm watching part of a video, and he's reading, now that he has this website up, he's reading from an article on TimCast.com for his commentary on YouTube/TimCast.com. And as he's reading it aloud, I'm just hearing it, and I'm going, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like the kind of writing that I've seen on this site. And it took a little hunting around and finding it, and I find nearly the exact same language, word for word, in about six or seven paragraphs in a row. In this case, it was from a PDF that a bank put out because they wanted the definition of a financial term. And so their reporter just copied it and changed like probably to mostly or a verb here and there. They put in a couple of synonyms, and they just straight up copied. And there's no link anywhere to this source material. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it and I'm going, well, that's funny. Maybe I'll tweet that out. And I talk to my editor and I show it to him. And he goes, well, how often does this happen? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, go take a look and find out. So what I did is I, similarly to when I watched probably about conservatively 200 hours worth of Tim Pool's videos for the first story, I went through every single thing they published over the course of 1 week. and checked them all for plagiarism. And I didn't use a plagiarism checker because they have their own fallibilities. I just went sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph, and using Google and DuckDuckGo and Bing and occasionally archive.org, tried to see if it existed anywhere else beforehand. And I think of the 84 stories, the written stories they published, one out of every 20 was straight plagiarized. And, wow. And if you take that over the now, you know, year that this site has been in publication, the majority of stories I found were from one reporter. He was only around for 6 months. Conservatively, I'd say there are probably still about another 100 or so stories on Timcast that are plagiarized that haven't been taken down. Beyond that, the rest of the site is just aggregation. They aggregate and they do the same incredibly lazy paraphrasing, but they'll include a hyperlink to where they got it from, or they'll say, as CNN reported, as the Daily Wire reported, as whoever they're getting it from.
Which, like, a ton of sites do that.
It's
aggregation, but as long as you point back to where you got it, it's generally accepted.
I would argue that they're a little bit sloppier and lazier about it than most, but it falls within the realm of we need to fill out the amount of content required for the site to show up in Google searches. So here it is.
Queen Elizabeth died, and we need something on our website that says Queen Elizabeth died, so maybe we can get some clicks.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But there is nothing. The two things that are hilarious to me about this are, one, they do almost no original reporting at all. Like, they don't even do reporting where rarely do they call up a source and ask them themselves. They just grab it from somebody else. And the other thing is, for all the time Tim Pool spends telling you that CNN is actually Moloch and is going to come to your door and cause you great personal harm, and they hate you and they want to destroy you. And he says that over and over and over and over again. His reporters are stealing from CNN.
Right.
Like, what they're doing, they also have a weird habit of aggregating from someone else who already aggregated a story. So you have to go back two or three steps to find out where they originally took it from. But, like, I found 7 examples over a 14-day period of stories that were plagiarized in the things that I looked at. Another party found another 2 examples from another point 2 weeks ago. And, like, they stole from CNN, CNBC, Forbes, Washington Post, Newsweek. They stole from as mainstream sources you could possibly hope to imagine. Because, like, those people are just writing up straight news. And Tim wants this to be a straight news website.
But they don't produce news is the point,
no,
right?
They don't produce anything.
Whether it is Tim's commentary on the news or, this Timcast website, it is almost entirely dependent on the work of the people that he claims hate America.
There's a point, which I ended up on the cutting room floor, is not in my story, but there is a point about where Tim is dreaming about the future success of Timcast.com, the news enterprise. And he goes, you know, I imagine someday in the future where with a snap of my fingers, all of these, you know, evil corporate press entities will just crumble and turn into dust. And he's talking about, like, Tim is Thanos and the news media is various Avengers and things like that. But, like, without them, he would not be able to make a single, like, I guess he could do commentary on Andy Ngo videos and things like that, but it would really cut down on his work, on his, you know, workload.
Yeah, he'd have to go to the Andy Ngo method, which is, you know, Queen Elizabeth, something he did yesterday
after
Queen Elizabeth died, clearly just went to the search bar and typed Queen Elizabeth Antifa and found some account that's like the Antifa Moose being like, wow, I'm glad the queen's dead. It's like, come on, dude. Like, please leave your house once in a while or like get on the phone and call somebody.
The thing is, like, doing original reporting takes time. And considering who's, like, Timcast is being run by Cassandra Fairbanks, who's now going, just to be fair to her, going by Cassandra McDonald, or byline still says Fairbanks, but Cassandra Fairbanks, as everyone knows her. Like, Cassandra has never worked at anything but a similar type of shop where all they do is aggregate or run right-wing outrage. She's the editor-in-chief. She also has a funny habit of self-plagiarizing. Like, when there was a series of stories, again, this also didn't make it. There were 3 big events regarding Ron DeSantis and his culture war battles with Disney on the week that I looked at. She copied the same 7 paragraphs each time in each blog. from herself.
Jeez.
And I'm like, and I get why she's doing that, because like they need, they put out about 15 to 20 blogs per weekday, and there are just three people doing it.
That's insane. Like when I was at Right Wing Watch, we would publish, we would all, there were four of us, we would all try to publish something every day.
Right.
And if you didn't do it, whatever, that's fine. We'll figure it out. But like generally that's the amount of content we wanted on the site. And that felt blistering.
Yeah.
It was like, how am I supposed to do this every single day?
Thinly rewriting whatever you see trending on Twitter, or, you know, it speeds up the process a little. And the amazing thing is Cassandra, while she's been putting out these like 5 to 6 aggregated posts at Timcast, she's also still on staff at the Gateway Pundit doing the same thing over there.
Which is just like a hive of like right-wing conspiracy theories, election denialism. Also, before we move off of Fairbanks, I also want to mention Hannah Bremelo. And if that last name sounds familiar, I'm so sorry that your brain is filled with the same stuff that mine is. But
and mine.
Hannah Bremelo is the daughter of Peter and Lydia Bremelo, who run the white nationalist blog, publication, whatever you want to call it, VDare. They have denied being white nationalists. They have tried to sue over being called a white nationalist.
And lost.
And lost, right? Because they are white nationalists. And also,
there's something about looks like a duck and quacks like a duck. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Anyway, Hannah Bremelo has been writing for Timcast.
Funnily enough, credit to Hannah Claire Bremelo. She does the most thorough job of paraphrasing other people's copy of anyone on staff.
Right.
So credit where credit's due.
And I also just want to kind of note, you know, she is the daughter of two people that lead a hate group. Now, people don't get to choose who their parents are or whatever. And it's not to say that, like, just because of who her parents are, she should never have opportunities in the world. Who knows if she agrees with everything they agree with, right? But surely her coming on staff wouldn't have like ever affected the way that Timcast.com would ever talk about VDare or anything like that, right?
Yeah, they did.
which to me, that's the bigger issue.
Yeah, Timcast, this is actually one of the few instances of original reporting on Timcast.com.
Of course it is.
It was billed as an exclusive interview with Peter Bremelo.
Exclusive, a racist nobody wants to talk to us.
Exclusive with Peter Bremelo because his site is mired in some lawsuit with a venue that wouldn't host a conference of theirs. So he sued them. And Peter Bremelo, who has been called by the Southern Poverty Law Center and a great many other organizations, a white nationalist. And so he gives there, it's not a long interview. There are maybe like 4 or 5 quotes. But Timcast runs this interview with Peter Bremelo. And then they have to go back and they have to add a note after the fact that says, oh, by the way, there's a slight conflict of interest. Peter Bremelo's daughter is on staff. So they add that.
Jeez.
Afterwards. But I went and I looked in the Internet Archives at the various versions of the story. Originally, the way that they described VDare was a organization focused on immigration issues.
That's one way to put it.
That is one way to put it. I mean, it's in the same area as the thing. It's true. It's not the whole story by a long shot. And then at a certain point, that description was taken out and they are just called a nonprofit. And all they link to, if you would like to learn more about VDare, is their nonprofit status on the site goldstar.com, which is where you can look up whether a company is a nonprofit.
Oh, man, that's bad. They knew if they linked VDare that...
They knew if they linked to VDare that someone might read some of the things that are on it. Cassandra Fairbanks, by the way, also has been on VDare podcasts, has been to one of which was with Peter Bremelo. Cassandra Fairbanks has showed up now twice at the White Nationalist per the SPLC AFPAC conference, which I keep thinking is the AFLAC conference in my head. But
that happens in my head too. I just every time I read it, I think AFPAC.
Make the duck sound. The AFLAC.
Yeah.
Like Cassandra Fairbanks has praised like white nationalists, including Nick Fuentes, she's offered, and Patrick Casey.
Yeah, from like after Trump lost too, she's like, oh, you know, fuck this. This, or I think it might have even been after the Capitol riot. She was like, fuck this. You know, next time Republicans come into power, it's full fascist mode, and just like
yes.
That's not the exact wording, but said something verbatim to that effect, and of course deleted it when people were like,
She mass deletes her tweets on a regular basis, but does also get the spicy ones when they pick up steam. Like when there was one night, she spent one night like live tweeting herself, putting out quotes from the Unabomber's manifesto and being like,
I remember that.
Yeah, you made some strong points. Yeah. Cassandra Fairbairn, so I would have to think as editor-in-chief, she would know that this article was being published. It would speak to her lack of supervision if she just didn't know. I am very curious about who had that article edited and why. There's another op-ed that appeared on Timcast that argued for repealing the 19th Amendment. That counted as original work on their part. They want to take away women's rights. They want to take away women's rights to vote. That is the editorial position of Timcast.com, the straight centrist news site from your favorite centrist pundit.
Center left, pundit. Can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been, you know, talking to people from MSNBC or down at the local, you know, Democratic Party fundraiser, and they keep saying, you know what we need to do is stop women from voting.
A.B. Klobuchar has a bill. I don't think it's going to get anywhere, but, you know, she's fighting the good fight. I mean, and generally, just to speak to what the kind of content they put out, the other way that it really syncs up with Timcast's YouTube content is the website, aside from the occasional, hey, meet this cool white nationalist blog, and women, do they really need to vote? Op-ed. They do write these straightforward news stories. It's just what they choose to cover. They never cover anything that would make Republicans look bad unless it's for not being right-wing enough.
Right.
Like, it is all, everything they write is geared towards, and honestly, this makes sense, because the people who are reading Timcast's website, the website Timcast put out by the artist still known as Timcast, anyone coming to that website for news is going to be part of Tim's audience.
Right.
And so, of course, that's what they're going to want to read. They're going to want to read, you know, about every step of Elon Musk trying to buy Twitter. They will want to read about whatever Christopher Rufo-led anti-trans nonsense is being ginned up next. Like, that's the beats they cover. Those are the beats that they cover. So in many ways, regardless of the actual tone of the article, that's kind of the straight and narrow.
So let's move on now. I wanted to ask you what is going on with NewsGuard and Tim Pool, because in the past, Tim Pool has loved places like NewsGuard, because NewsGuard, you know, part of their model as a third-party sort of media watchdog, media rating industry, is to identify where outlets are screwing up and flagging that, raising awareness, encouraging those outlets to get better, and, you know, encouraging I assume, like, would-be advertisers, maybe, of being aware of that sort of thing?
Advertisers are very dependent on NewsGuard's ratings for their buys. It's why they are, yes, let's just say that advertisers do take NewsGuard's ratings into account.
Yeah, so Tim would love to go on there because he could be like, aha, see this place that wrote this mean thing about me. This is what NewsGuard thinks of them. This is what Ad Fontes thinks of. You know, he would always cite these kind of third-party organizations to, in his, you know, effort to discredit what I guess he sees as his competition, maybe in some way, this nasty media that's always coming for him.
They went after him today, as you can see from the clip art above this story. So very briefly, and if we want to go deep into Tim Pool and ratings agencies lore, you can remember at the time he endorsed this app called The Knife, which was connected to the NVXM cult.
I feel like I saw something about it, but I don't know the details.
And it was one of his early interviews. He interviewed the people who founded the site. And it was a Tim Pool type interview where there was He didn't ask any questions that were of any note. He basically just gave them his platform for them to advertise their company. And whoops, it came out later that they were connected to a cult, a literal cult. And that be NVX, I forget the acronym. The Keith Rainier cult is what they were in some ways affiliated with. But yes, Tim Pool in every one of his videos, well, he likes to make the claim like, well, I'm relying on this source and NewsGuard certified them. So that means anything that they say, anything I say about what they say is therefore okay. So it was very important for Tim to get his website also similarly rated by them. And in the course of evaluating their site, NewsGuard also found a couple of articles that were plagiarized and a number of articles that were factually inaccurate. Tim deleted the articles that were plagiarized, added notes, updated the articles that they'd gotten wrong, and gave him a rating of 82, which is considered, you don't need to parse this rating system, but it's, you know, it's good. There are news organizations that rate lower for reasons, others rate higher, but clearly not getting a perfect score really stuck in his gullet. He has spent a month now on and off ranting about how they done did him wrong by giving him this score and how they wouldn't they got a couple of details wrong when they wrote it up. Like they wrote that he was an editor at Timcast and he wasn't. They got his job when he was Vice Infusion incorrectly. There were another couple of small things. Tim has a podcast which is called Tales from the Inverted World, which is basically just like, you know, Ghost Hunters, but in podcast form. They discuss the supernatural and they refer to it as science fiction, which is not entirely accurate.
That's a little disparaging for that.
Yeah, you could call it a podcast about supernatural events or something like that. I forget what they changed. They think they just said a podcast about UFOs and aliens and things like that. Mm. That to Tim was that offense would not be tolerated. He got very angry. He wrote them multiple emails. He dedicated multiple videos to talking about his NewsGuard rating. And at one point he announced that he was going to sue them for defamation.
I don't think that's going to work.
I don't think that's going to work. I mean, he's got enough money that he could burn through, you know, I don't even know how much in lawyer's fees in order to tilt this windmill, I guess.
But for what? His ego?
Clout.
Yeah.
His ego.
Yeah.
Clout, his ego, draw to get. Okay, thinking really cynically, yes. What it does is it paints a picture of him as like, look, I am the only one willing to take on these all-powerful, all-consuming, nefarious forces in the mainstream press. I will even put my own money on the line to take them to court. Tim also makes a lot of noise about suing Wikipedia, by the way. That Wikipedia should be sued, that it does not fall under Section 230, because, and his reasoning is because the words by Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, appear in the upper left-hand corner on the page. So that means it's Wikipedia's byline, and anything they get wrong, they can be sued for. He's encouraged James O'Keefe multiple times to sue Wikipedia. He's talking about crowdfunding money to sue Wikipedia.
I mean, James O'Keefe and Project Veritas lurch at any chance they get to file a lawsuit. So I think
sure.
I think just the fact that they haven't taken him up on that suggestion says quite a bit. But I guess we'll see how that plays out. I can't imagine,
The hilarious funny thing, even though the lawsuit, I really don't think he's going to do it, or I'm sure, maybe he will. I can't predict. But like at the same time as he's screaming bloody murder about the injuries that NewsGuard has caused him by giving him an 82, on his about page, there is a screenshot of NewsGuard's logo. And it says, "We are NewsGuard verified," right there on timcast.com's about page, bragging that they got this score.
Oh man, it's just all and he put it up. Kayfabe.
I checked the archives. He put it up after he started screaming about how about the grand injustices perpetrated by NewsGuard. It's the bigger question about it is this is like, as you said at the beginning, everything in Tim Pool's career has been centered around the idea is that the corporate press is not just lying to you, but really hates you, and that he is providing the real truth, the unvarnished truth. And that has stretched from Occupy until now. But I cannot help but think that there's a very personal quality to this sense of outrage that he has, and the amount of like legitimate anger that it is put behind. And it's not just that the Fourth Estate needs to do better, or we need a better informed population. Like, I will agree with both you and Tim to a certain degree. There are problems with how the how we produce journalism in America and the kind of journalism we produce.
Right.
If I woke up tomorrow and was named the queen of journalism, I would certainly make a bunch of changes. But it's a very, let me just say, I'll keep it a little bit vague, but I would say for someone who got summarily drummed out of a couple of digital media companies, it feels like this is a very personal vendetta coming from.
I get a lot of the same impression, because the anger that in his expression when he's talking about that, I mean, he kind of bullshits a lot of the time, right? But when he gets really worked up and saying the media hates you and whatnot, I think he really kind of does feel like that way. Anyway, we have gone over time.
We have gone way too long.
We have gone over time. We normally do this show like 30 minutes, but Robert, I was just having such a good time and learning so much talking to you.
I'm not good at the whole brevity thing. I'm sorry.
It's because you've got something to say, which I can respect.
I think, look, it is the larger question also about like why I think it's important to cover Tim Pool. It's not just because the actual amount of influence he has in right-wing circles now. Like, you don't get Steve Bannon on your show multiple times if you are not a serious power player in conservative media. I think I am terrified by the future of personality-driven news creation. I think that is something that exists both on the right and the left. And I don't know what the counter would be, because the only way to market these things these days is to create fandoms and affinities around a brand. That is one of the few successful business models left in late period capitalism. But I think when it comes to like both the actual process of reporting things out accurately and the information that is then delivered, I think it is, I can't, it, it's bad. Let me,
yeah.
It's very bad. It's terrifying to me personally. So,
I think it's also important too, because as this has risen up, like it's a little bit easier to try to do media criticism and media accountability when, I mean, even if you're going to cast a very, very wide net and include a lot of blogs, any place that's producing original reporting, I'll say that. In the United States, with the way that local news is going, all these newsrooms being shut down and just barely putting out anything anymore, you've got what, like a few, like 300 or 400, like what would be like worth including,
and
that's extremely generous on a national scale. But with influencers like leading the news, that turns into thousands, if not tens of thousands, and there's just not a reasonable, like, you can't put the burden on the audience to be like, oh well, you know, if Tim says something wrong, then you know, maybe this crack team of audience we'll go do the research and explain exactly why it's wrong. Like, really? That's not going to happen, because they're going to get drowned out by like all the other people that are commenting and being like, Tim, I love your song Only Ever Wanted. I made love with my wife last night listening to it, and let me tell you, it was the best we've ever.
Oh, great. Now I got, thanks for that.
I'm sorry.
And this is also something that I did not have room for in the story, but I spoke to some experts for this story, which, and, you know, to talk about the question of plagiarism in digital media, we ended up not using it for a number of different reasons. But like this journalism professor, one who specializes in plagiarism, by the way, told me is most of my students get their news from TikTok. And those are journalism students.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all, all negative. I will say that it like there's new forms of journalism on new platforms, and some of it's like kind of exciting to see. But that should not, at least maybe I am finally in my life starting to show a little bit of age, but like I don't think that is appropriate for anyone in journalism.
I suddenly am a traditionalist and an institutionalist, and the way we did it in my day, even if it means wearing an onion around your belt, which was the fashion at the time, I am very worried. It makes me very, very concerned for the kids. And as you know, I care about the kids. It's all about the kids. It's about the future.
Robert Silverman loves children. Well, okay, I think I've beat up on you enough for one episode.
Well, it's going to be... thanks for that too, man.
All right, Robert Silverman. You can read his latest piece on Tim Pool and timcast.com. The handle for everything, apparently. But before you go... This podcast isn't called Shitpost anymore, but I do want to stick... join the crowd, buddy. but I still want to ask you that last question that every guest gets.
Sure.
What's your favorite thing on the internet right now, Robert?
My favorite thing, and this is, I believe this person has been a guest on the podcast formerly known as Shitpost. Ryan Broderick's Garbage Day.
Oh, so good.
It's so good. It is, when it comes to digesting and then producing coherent versions of what is happening on the internets, I think Ryan does as good a job as anyone of encapsulating and reporting and analyzing where things are now and where they're going. Garbage Day, I'm not sure if it's on Ghost or Substack,
I think he's on Substack still.
I think he's still on Substack. It's a newsletter that you can subscribe to, and I would highly recommend it. There was a post that came out this morning about why there were memes about the movie Megamind and how that connected to the death of Queen Elizabeth. And it is a...
That one's sitting in my inbox. I haven't read it yet, but I know that's what I'm about to go do.
Read. Like, what Ryan writes about is not fun. So you have to want to dive into the toxic sewer mines of the discourse as much as I do in order to really get the most out of this website. But for all you normies out there, I highly recommend it as well. Ryan does excellent work. I'm going to vote for...
I can also give a hefty endorsement to Garbage Day. Something else that Ryan does that is really good is he takes all the bullshit that comes from tech platforms about how much they care about elections or how much they're taking hate speech seriously that we get every couple months from them, and just cutting through it like a hot knife and being like, here's the reality, which is so refreshing to see in a world where, you know, a lot of tech journalists seem to, you know, be willing to look the other way or maybe just, you know, aren't familiar enough with the issues themselves to really kind of understand it. Absolutely. As the fluff that it is. Robert Silverman, thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Jared.
Come in a swimsuit. We ain't got no rules, and don't tell your parents, but we're partying with Tim Pool. Partying with Tim Pool. We're partying with Tim Pool. I am only 15, living every kid's dream. Partying with Tim Pool. Partying with Tim Pool. Man, this guy is so cool. No other kids here, dizzy from this root beer, partying with Tim Pool.